Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show is brought to you by the LasVegasAdvisor.com, CasinoMeister.com, and ThePog.com. Three great sites for all your casino gaming information needs.
This is the Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show, where we talk everything casinos and help you get the advantage.
Hello, everybody, and hello, Dr. Nick. Oh, my gosh, it's been a long time.
It has been a long time, Hot Aussie Chick. It has indeed.
Cold Aussie Chick.
Yes, it is the winter time in Australia, so unbeknownst to those who don't know, the seasons are reversed in Australia, so It is winter time there.
It is, and I'm sitting in the middle of wintertime. I've got to be the only Australian that is seriously burned in winter.
Because you just returned from Las Vegas.
I did, and I got extremely burned at the Colorado River.
Yes, we took a trip to Nelson's Landing and did some cliff diving.
Is that what it's called?
Jumping off about 15 meters off a cliff into the water, yes it is, and it was quite a fun.
Actually, one of my gambling idols, I suppose you'd say, someone I've learned a lot of from their videos, which would be the Wizard of Oz. Oz.
Yes.
I nearly said Oz. I kind of did say Oz. And yourself and other patrons or people, rather, would have jumped off cliffs. I was not one of them.
Yes. And for those who don't know, the Wizard of Oz is also better known as Michael Shackelford.
What do you think he's better known as?
I don't know, but he does. He's actually known as the Wizard in Las Vegas. He's pretty much the guy that everybody goes to for any gaming or probability related questions, other than me, of course.
Other than you. Okay, so about you, just so we can give explanations straight off the bat, because everyone's going to be going, screw these people, we just get used to listening to them and then they disappear. There's been a few little problems as to why we couldn't do a show. Most of them, as you probably all guess, was around Dr. Nick's horrible and awful need to be in court systems.
Yes, I am filing litigation against several people, and for just prudency's sake, we decided to hold off on things for a little bit and move forward. Things have been cleared up a little bit. We are still proceeding, but we did get a major decision, and we can now restart our regular podcast, which we will be doing on a regular basis, weekly, from here on out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You've got to be at downtown Las Vegas area or the Strip or something. I can hear, like, birds chirping or people vomiting or something. Something, I don't know. and motorcycles and
well, I am at a cafe in downtown Henderson, so just enjoy a nice day, and you know, people are coming and going, and there are birds.
Sorry. I was like, what is that? I couldn't know what's that. Not laughing at your court cases, everyone. I'm not laughing at court stuff. That is not funny.
And we're gonna discuss that a little bit further. But first, we got our We have debt cleared up regarding why of our prolonged absence. Mm-hmm. But we are, I guess, I'd say about, 75-80% way through the World Series of Poker so far?
Yes, the 50th. Yes. I can't believe it. So that's 50 years of, I mean, you know, that's a lot of years of poker.
Yes, and I believe...
And Doyle Brunson, I think, has been at every single one of them.
I believe that is correct. But you got to remember, though, way back when it first started, some odd 50 years ago, there was, six or seven people? Now, here's an interesting thing. Here's an interesting thing that I discovered, or it was actually told to me by our resident psychologist, Dr. Alan Schoonmaker, when they, and who you know, probably could have been around, you know, around the...
No doubt. He would have. He was alive.
Yes. Well,
my mom was a child.
How it usually went was they would only award one bracelet and they would play several events and then everybody would vote on themselves or everybody would vote to see who would win. Now, the problem
kinda
was
kind of like the blackjack ball.
Kind of, but everybody would have one vote who were played in the events and everybody would play at all the events. And the problem was that everybody would vote for themselves. So the way they decided who would become the World Series of Bracelet winner way back when it started was they would vote who would get second. And the person who got the most votes for second obviously won because everybody would vote for themselves. Interestingly enough. And when we were here, you got yourself a nice photo on the 50th anniversary.
Yes, with some little person's little brat of a kid photobombing me. I think I found out who that person is.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Now I have to use facial recognition software to find them, however.
What's a little
clearly,
kid?
Someone had to be looking after that kid. No, I know that. But I was trying to get a photo with the... Anyway, whatever. Whatever, dude. About the World Series of Poker. What happens now that Caesars has been taken over by Eldorado? I mean, so many things have happened since we've done the last show.
Lots of things. Like you said, not more than a week ago, I say, just maybe just over a week ago, Eldorado Resorts, which is owns about 26 casinos, acquired Caesars Entertainment for something like $18.7 billion or thereabouts.
Is it like $27.3 billion?
Yes. No, it was 18.7, as I recall.
Okay, now, well, I'm going to bet you on this. Okay, everyone? I'm just about to make some money, I think.
Take your
Let me
breath.
See.
Are you going to Google it now?
I am. Caesars, Eldorado. I'll type in those words. Because I think that I am right. I don't forget numbers. Not money numbers. Oh, maybe I do. What did you say?
Around 18.7.
Well, we're both wrong. So there's no bet there. 17.3 billion.
Okay, so I was closer than you were.
That doesn't matter. You weren't right.
I said something about 18.
Yeah, all right.
Now, ironically enough, 18 or $17.8 billion, the total cost or the total value of Caesars Entertainment is about half that. So they made quite a bit of money, the sellers of it. And it's owned by Eldorado Resorts. And the whole thing was orchestrated by a billionaire investor out of New York by the name of Carl Icahn. So,
okay, so you do know. I mean, why was I even thinking of making a bet? Listen to all of the knowledge you have. Continue. Yes.
Well, interestingly enough, Caesars Entertainment will now be sold to Eldorado. And Eldorado will be acquiring all their information, databases, so on and so forth. Now, for Advantage players, this is an interesting development because for Advantage players out there who may or may not have been kicked out or thrown off or barred from any Caesar property and playing the World Series of Poker, someone who would
such as you
would be me, yes, is now actually allowed, after the sale goes through and is complete, will be allowed to play in the World Series of Poker because of change of ownership. So that is good news.
That's fabulous for you. In fact, yes. While we were on our hiatus from radio, you had a $6,500 online cash on online site, I believe.
Yes, I did. And I also...
Well, you are quite the poker player. You have been smashing the tables. I, in fact, added your ROI up for you, and it was just insane. We won't go there and mention, because no one deserves to know all of your business. But that's great. That means you can enter the main event and whatnot after the Eldorado.
Yes, or any event, for that matter, after Eldorado does take over. So that's good news for myself and other people. So, yes, we're really looking forward to that next year.
So the Eldorado people are taking over that. And in Boston, they've just in the Massachusetts, that's how you pronounce it, right? I always say it wrong, incorrectly. It's like people that say Illinois. Anyhow, whatever.
Or my favorite thing that Australian people say, they mispronounce in this country, is Yosemite, also known as Yosemite National Park. They call it Yosemite.
Right. People like me, are you referring to? Anyhow, Boston, they've opened a casino, and I had people telling me that their blackjack tables were absolutely chock-a-block full of people. And I also read news articles, just for your information, everyone. I don't know, your information too, I suppose, Dr. Nick. I already know, probably do, that there were four people charged on the day, some with cheating already. So they've got great security systems.
Yes, they do. And actually, so that resort was supposed to be called the Wynn, but is actually called the Encore, and has generally the same setup as the Encore in Las Vegas. So very the structure and the outline of the building and how the layout is very consistent with what's in Las Vegas and also Macau. So yeah, good stuff going on. Lots of casinos open. That's not the only thing. Also today we came to realize that Illinois has actually signed, the governor has signed legislation greatly expanding the gaming industry within the Chicago area, or specifically
to
Illinois.
Say the least, in fact.
Yes.
Our conversations went something like, holy crap, those zeros on the end of the, the end of the dollar value was just absolutely crazy.
Right.
They want to put, they want to, look, basically the picture, you know, the Welcome to Las Vegas sign?
Yes.
So the picture that I saw in the article that I read said, welcome to the fabulous Chicago.
Well, there you go. And we know for a fact there's going to be a brand new casino that they're going to be starting construction on shortly, which is just on the Illinois side border of the Illinois-Wisconsin border. So that's another Vegas-style casino that's going up in the Chicagoland area, which I believe brings their total to about 11 or 12. I'm not exactly sure, within a 90-minute drive of the Chicago area. So more gaming coming to the Midwest. And that's only good news for players, because as these casinos become more and more plentiful, it's going to force the casinos in Las Vegas or Atlantic City or Tunica or even the Chicago or local casinos to become more lucrative to players, either with their games or their comps. So competition is good for the player in this case.
Yes, in fact. And the competition is just crazy, to the point that they've gone from 44,000 seats. I'm just reading it now. So 44,000 places that people can sit, you know, at the casino and gamble inside of it, to 80,000.
That's double. That's quite a bit.
That, yes. So the gambling capital of the Midwest, that's what they want to be called.
Yes.
4,000 gambling positions will open up, three times more than any of the state's 10 existing current casinos.
Outstanding. So all good things coming for the gaming industry within the Chicagoland area.
And the dollar value is $45 billion that they're investing over 6 years to fix what's broken and repaired. What's needed is what the governor, or whatever the heck they call it, over there.
Yeah. So good news for the gaming. Now that we were talking a little bit about, you mentioned ROI. Something came up, and I wanted to get your take on it from a poker player, professional poker player's point of view. And
that's not me.
Well, once upon a time you were. Well, once upon a time you were.
Oh no, so, I was kind of a recreational one.
Yes, but anyway.
And even if I wasn't, I wouldn't say I was a professional one, because that would be just stupid to say in this country.
Well,
in this country, professional players have to pay tax. I'm certainly not one of those.
Right. Well, once upon a time, you played poker regularly, and you would have some insight on this. It is a recreational player. It says, and it has to do with the markups that players are charging as investments. And this is an interesting post I came through on the Facebook. And this is from a guy named Thomas Sandusky. And he shared a link regarding, is a scholarly article from Penn State University, EDU. And he writes this, and I just wanted to
congratulations on becoming famous, Thomas. Just putting it out there.
Or infamous. Now, it's quite of a long post, but I'll just give you the gist of it. It says, selling shares at a markup is a huge windfall for players. Investors are in the dark, as there is no transparency on a player's current ROI, which for all of us know that means return on investment. Mm-hmm. A player could have $3 million in wins, but still be a lifelong net loser. So selling $400K a year at a 1.2 markup would make a nice living, banking the player $80,000 with absolutely zero risk. And he would have no incentive to play well. So what do you think about this?
Well, there's like obviously a long answer, or there's a short answer. The short answer would be, do I think markup should be there? The answer is absolutely yes.
Okay.
Obviously, the markup should be there. There are some of poker's greats that do have exceptional ROIs that are offering people who can't play or can't afford to play an opportunity to be part of and make money from things like the World Series of Poker main event.
Right. And as we know...
So that's my short answer. Want the long answer, I have some very technical things that I've analyzed myself. But
well, as we know, poker players by their very nature are very arrogant and they want to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the sheer fact that they're competing, they don't compete to lose, they compete to win.
Well, yes, most of the people that are out there, I won't say most of them. Actually, yes, I will say most of them that are out there doing larger markups are people that don't care about the money. They want the bracelet.
Right. And we both
know. I mean, of course, everyone cares about money. I shouldn't say that. Of course, they care about money, but not as much. Look, you go and bet on horses on a racetrack, do you not?
Right, exactly.
So, and when you bet on horses, there's the best horses that have lower odds. You know, you get less in return for what you pay. And then the worst horses where you're taking a bit of a risk. So it's kind of like that, I suppose, is another short answer.
What I think might be an interesting idea is something to the effect of a sports exchange where people can buy certain amounts, and as people run deeper or in a tournament, the value of that price goes up. So you could run it like a stock exchange where people are buying, selling, and trading things. That would be something to look into sometime in the near future once they get all this sports betting legalized out of the way.
Well, I think that such opinions, such as this infamous man, as you call him, and I agree now, have given, need to be dealt with first. I mean, there's so many factors. Certainly a person, and I really want to give a longer answer on this, on the you can't determine a person's ROI. Well, that is correct. But there are people out there. There's a one lady in particular that has made a fortune, an absolute killing, on investing in poker players, by paying markups. She's got such a return that it's just not worth her even playing poker. Now, I won't go mentioning names and whatnot. I'm sure people can go find articles and whatnot on some of the biggest poker backers in the world. Backers, as in they're not just giving people money. They're there and they're investing. Those people research, and they research well. They know their horses or their players. Obviously, I'm not going to, and you're not going to, and no one's going to go over and go, okay, this person has clearly, you know, you can watch what players are doing on Twitter and on Facebook, and it'll look all over the place. You know, all of the major tournaments, all the smaller ones, you can see what they're doing. You're not going to go and invest on just a whim, are you?
And exactly. But nobody is forcing these people to invest in them anyway. If they don't want to do it, don't do it. It's that simple.
Pretty much.
Right. Speaking of which, that was one of the big issues this year. And I think Phil Hellmuth is a big proponent in a staking site and where people can go and buy pieces of action. But I think he said that, you know, 1.2% markup is really not that much, because if you look at their return over their life, at least I believe this is what he said, I something like $1.5.
Yes, it was in an interview that I actually did with him, a video interview with Poker News last year.
Yes, where he's at 1.5%. So yes, if you do your research, and you know, the problem I see, though, not the problem, but where people get confused is the variance, especially among tournament poker players, is so large. I mean, You could spend 2 years not cashing and then win the main event, and your ROI would be just tremendous.
Well, what this man means clearly is you can't see all of the tournaments they've entered where they've lost.
Correct.
And he's wrong.
Yes, you do your
I'm
research.
I'm here to tell you, what's his name again? I'm here to tell him.
Thomas Sandusky.
I can go and I can follow poker players. And the ones that are serious in being staked and serious with their markups and whatever else, and I know what they've played in. So,
right.
Not all of them. So you just avoid the ones you don't know. Simple. Anyhow, poker and everything that's happening in it. As of the 1st of July, poker was blocked in Switzerland, just like Australia now. So 888 Poker, Poker Stars, all those people sent out all of their notices to the Swiss. They are also not not allowing offshore sites. So it's the same as Australia and there, in China.
Is there any, I don't want to stop you, but is there any path forward for the legalization in those countries? Or like we for Australia, we know that if there can be poker if it's Australian owned and things of that nature, that certain conditions are met. But is there anything like that, a path for legalization within those countries? Or is it they just ban it altogether for moral reasons?
Well, no, there's a path for legalization, and the path is they must have to offer poker services, as an example, online poker services to an Australian, you must have an Australian-owned company, an Australian-owned server, Australian scrutinized software, Australian licenses. It all needs to be onshore based. So, you know, you can't be your poker stars. They're the Isle of Man, I believe, are they?
Correct. That's where they're at. Yes.
Well, that's not Australia, so we can never play there until such time as they get an Australian license, which they invested in CrownBet. So possibly that gives them some sort of license. Hey, look, the point is we all have faith. There's a huge fight. We'll fight for forever to get online poker back. So,
and you know. But see, the whole thing doesn't make any sense, at least in the Australia jurisdiction, because it really doesn't make any sense. Why would they legalize like sports betting and horse betting online, but not casino poker?
They haven't. The same rules apply.
So you can bet online for sports betting, right?
Yeah, because the companies are owned in Australia by Australians with Australian servers and Australian software and Australian, so on and so forth. They're Australian companies.
Now, as long as we're on this, I think this is a good leeway. Recently, I have actually gone into business and doing some business with an Australian-based company.
Okay, but I wanted to talk about banning and what happens and...
All right, we'll go finish your thoughts on that and we'll come back to this.
Okay, back to Australia in just 1 second. After I tell you all that I keep telling people over and over and over again that you just don't mess around with, you know, online poker, that it is illegal. If you are an offshore operator, you know, you shouldn't blah, blah. And apparently that, you know, legalities when it comes to online gambling don't just apply to Australia. So overnight in China, what was it, the day before? I forget. But I read a massive article, 54 arrests, 44 laptops, mobile phones, 3 people not there, an illegal site.
Yeah, and a gambling, yes. Illegal gambling ring in China, correct?
Well, right. But, you know, you hear the words illegal gambling ring and you think, holy crap, you know, these people are just out of their mind. You know, who would bet with these illegal gambling rings? You know, who's stupid enough to use them? Half the people that I'm coming across are using illegal gambling services. Stop it.
Well, that's
just
no good.
Stop it. It doesn't look good for the fight for online poker, and I'm sick of seeing it. If you're going to use an online site that is illegal in your country, well, you're going to get what's just happened to these people who are using the Chinese one. Don't think it's not going to happen to you. The government knows. The government has eyes everywhere, just like casinos. The end.
It would make sense that they would be proponents of legalizing and regulating these casinos as opposed to not legalizing them and not regulating them. So it just doesn't make any sense to me why they're actually doing that.
Well, in Australia, the Macquarie Bank has in fact just taken a huge stance against gambling to the point that they have blocked their credit cards. So Macquarie Group have completely blocked their credit cards from being able to be used for gambling transactions. And they've asked our 4 major banks to stop it altogether. So when you said earlier, you know, I'm trying to stay hopeful here, but when you're hearing things like that, it doesn't sound very good for online poker, does it? In fact, that doesn't sound very good for betting of a whole in Australia. And I believe that we can blame all of the losers who still want to play on online poker sites when they know they shouldn't be.
Correct. So let's
if 888 Poker Stars, all of these large corporations are doing the right thing by not allowing you to play, does that not tell you it's illegal to play online poker, you bunch of dummies? Sorry. Well,
We'll be hopeful and continue to proceed with the good fight of hopefully legalizing online poker once again in Australia. So, good.
Correct. And about what were you saying about Australia? Oh, and by the way, if you are one of the people that are playing legally on a site in your state, blah, blah, that obviously doesn't apply to you. And I don't mean to be offending. Just want to protect everyone, as usual.
Right. Oh, and speaking of which, after you mentioned earlier that took fourth in a major tournament online, and I made some money on it. Now, this is just a reminder to all these people out there. Be sure you have all your documents and everything in order for banking. Because when you go to withdraw your money, they're very, very particular. It took me a long time to get all the necessary documents in place, specifically because I ran my bank account that I used to deposit money into the WSOP accounts were from my company bank. That's perfectly legit, legalized. I own it. I'm the sole proprietor. I own this whole company, and I can move money in and out as I choose. But because the name of the entity, the company's name was not on the title of the bank account, it took me quite a long time to, I had to go back to Chicago.
You mean your name wasn't on it?
Yes,
my name. Being the entity.
Yeah.
Right. Nicholas, so your name wasn't on your business account. Right.
Yes. Well, it was on there as a signature, but it wasn't in the heading of the bank account.
Right.
So you have to make sure, so they won't release those funds. And as a consequence, they had to temporarily suspend my account, so I couldn't play anymore for somewhere around a month until I got everything in order.
And that there is someone you can trust.
Yes, hopefully.
They are doing the right thing by the law. You're not going to have a FBI swoop in like has happened in the past and thousands of dollars locked up and, you know, people committing suicide and losing their houses and jumping countries when you're in the hands of someone like that.
Right. So just to remind everybody, you know, make sure all your stuff is in order. All that stuff has been taken care of. All my document has been submitted. I got a confirmation email from them recently, and my account should be reopened shortly. So
speaking of all of this, I know you want to talk about Australia and sports betting and whatnot, but we're on this online gaming and gambling thing. And, you know, people are one way or the other about it. It's just as simple as that. They're either on the black side or the white side. And NHS, which I believe is the National Health Service in the UK. And, you know, here's another stupid reason why people would get on the black side. They have opened a gambling clinic for children, as according to the Gambling Commission, 55,000 children have a gambling problem.
What are they gambling
on? And yes,
on?
You heard me right.
Children?
I don't know. I have no idea what they're gambling on. Children, yes, children.
Oh, I would love to see data on that.
Well, you're a medical doctor to some degree, correct?
Correct.
Or you have a right. So, and then we have our psychologist, Alan Schoonmaker. How do 55,000 children have a gambling problem? How is this even possible?
I don't even know how they would have stats on that, to be honest with you.
Good point. Why aren't they stopping them before they get a gambling problem? This
Who
is my
knows?
Question. Anyhow, they, just like you were talking about the World Series of Poker, and I was talking about the Macquarie Group stopping transactions on cards. A UK gambling regulations, they've brought out, have brought out KYC, which is know your own customer. So before a deposit, a bonus, collect, cash out, anything like that. So even before deposit, they do a manual process over there now.
Right.
To check who you are, where you are, all of that. To make the online gaming world safer.
It would make sense to me that why don't they verify all these accounts before taking a deposit? I mean, that would be the simpler way to do it, but I guess they just want the money as fast as possible, and you know they'll make sure on the way out when you're getting on the way out. So, but you know, interestingly enough, those are some those are things that are going on, and just to make sure everybody is remember how that actually works with the online poker world. They are very strict at the WSOP, but Now that we got that out of the way, let's we can move on. I do have some exciting news. I started to mention it earlier. I have actually been contracted to set the sports betting and prop bet lines for the NFL for the upcoming season for a company out of Australia, Digital Sports Tech, and they will be posting
free
various
little plug
lines.
There.
Yep. And they actually sell all their stuff to like places like William Hill and a lot of other major sporting book outfits for online. So those are
those.
Yes, it took me quite a long time to get back into the consulting game, mostly due to these false allegations by the gaming board.
Yes.
And by the American.
So I remember you talking to me. In fact, it's a very difficult subject, as everyone could imagine.
Right.
To get around with any potential or future employee to be accused of cheating.
Yes, in
is
fact.
Not in a good thing in this industry.
In fact, I was terminated from a lot of my writing positions. I write very, very sparingly now. Now, ironically, when I went to apply for my credentials for the gaming conference last year, and my credentials were denied.
Yes, I believe we discussed that, but then the listeners may not know that.
Yes, but ironically, I was the lead writer of the Gambling Insider magazine, which is one of the main sponsors of the event, and I wrote a monster, 3,500 word article about the legalization of sports betting, and it was featured in their magazine and handed out to like 150,000 people, and I could not attend, So that was really, really awful. Now, thankfully, as we go through the process for proceeding litigation against these people who made these what I'm accusing to be alleged defamatory statements and causing me all sorts of damage, some good things have come about, and then some not so good things as well.
And we were going to talk about this, so then everyone knows why we haven't done the show. So end of story.
Right.
Everything's over and done. Why didn't we do the show? Because it was going through this process. And what happened?
Well,
you were about to say. But...
The state filed something called an anti-slap motion, which stands for Strategic Law and Public Practice. So what they were saying was that they presented information that was vital to the concern of the public, even though it was false and they should not be allowed to be held liable. And they made a three-prong argument. The first one was
okay. Let's just get the short story. So did the slap thing go through?
It was denied by the judge.
So that means they was like, no, you're not getting your slap motion.
Well, the motion by the state to dismiss was denied. I want to read the actual language by Judge Linda Marie Bell.
And you can do that.
Yes, this is all a matter of public record. And what she found was there were three things that she had to consider. Was the presentation by a guy by the name of James Taylor, who was one of the not the singer, but he was a he's one of the representatives of the state gaming board. Was his presentation a matter of public concern? She agreed it was. The second one was.
You just cut out there for a second. I think it may be because of the dog barking and the gate smacking in my neighbor's house. Sorry about that, everyone.
Well, we'll say was Mr. Taylor's communication or presentation, was it a matter of public concern? And she said yes. And the second one was the anti-slap statute. Does that violate a trial by jury? She said no, it doesn't violate the right to trial by jury. But what she did find was that Mr. Taylor's presentation was not a good faith communication. Essentially what that means is that he knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew that this is my interpretation of it, of course. He knew what he was doing was wrong, and he knowingly made defamatory statements against me, even though his things were proven to be false. But this is what the language says.
Wow.
Yes, this is where the language says. It says, although Mr. Taylor's speech is a matter of public concern, I cannot find that Mr. Taylor made the communication in good faith by a preponderance of the evidence. Dr. Cologne contends that the device in his hand was a crowd counter and not a cheating device. This crowd counter cannot be used to cheat at blackjack because it cannot subtract, only add. This contention is supported by the affidavits of two gaming experts, Michael LaPonte and Elliot Jacobson, as well as the affidavit of Dr. Cologne. Mr. Taylor and the Gaming Control Board do not dispute that this device in his hand was a crowd counter and cannot be used to cheat at blackjack. Mr. Taylor and the Gaming Control Board argue that Mr. Taylor did not specifically claim that the crowd counter was a cheating device. Instead, Mr. Taylor simply identified the device as a counting device and stated that it was the only counting device obtained that year. In this context, this is not a persuasive argument. Mr. Taylor also discussed Dr. Cologne's arrest and discussed Dr. Cologne under the section entitled Use of a Cheating Device. Mr. Taylor also cited NRS 4650751, which makes it unlawful to use or possess or any computerized electronic or mechanical device to obtain an advantage at playing any game in a licensed gaming establishment. So in order to find a good faith communication, I have to find that the communication was truthful or was made without knowledge of its falsehood. The communication that the crowd counter was a cheating device was not truthful. There is no evidence that Mr. Taylor was without knowledge of its falsehood, as Mr. Taylor does not make any such claims in his affidavit. Instead, the evidence shows that Mr. Taylor most likely that the crowd counter could not be used as a cheating device. Dr. Cologne provides two separate affidavits supporting this contention. Thus, I find by preponderance of the evidence that Mr. Taylor's statements do not constitute a good faith communication. And the beginning
not surprising.
And then she said the parties
we
made
all
the
know
oral...
you can't use a crowd counter.
Yes, she said the parties made oral arguments on December 20th, 2018, and I am denying the anti-slap motion to dismiss. So
okay, so I just have one question. A question which lots of people may ask, is this gentleman that has made these allegations calling you a cheat by using a crowd counter, apparently, whatever, right. You know, this, whatever the situation may be in all of this paperwork, you know, because it's kind of not entirely clear to everyone, but I just said before that we all know that you can't use a crowd counter. And I'm a dodo. I can't even play blackjack very well. But how long did this man, how long was he in his job for? How long is he?
Over 20 years, as I recall. Or somewhere there about 20 years.
So, he should definitely know.
Yes, he should.
Okay,
but,
all right.
But all when right. you're when just you're when you're a hammer, everything seems to be a nail. So
okay, off the subject of that, I had a fabulous time. Not off the subject of that, because what happens now?
Well, the judge denied it. However, the state did not like that, and they are appealing to the Nevada Supreme Court.
Good Lord.
So we have to take that one step further, and the judges at the Nevada Supreme Court are reviewing that. And
Be continued, basically.
Yes. If they follow the law, we should win. But considering
and your lawyer,
Bob Nersessian, yes.
Right.
And we will see what the hell happens.
Bob Nersessian for all your legal gaming needs.
Yes. So yes, they are reviewing it. We feel
good,
pretty good
okay.
about it if they follow the law. But
it's quite evident that anyway. I'm not going to talk anymore because that's
right.
why we stopped doing the show. All of this nonsense.
Right. So we will see in more information as it becomes available. And I actually am filing another lawsuit. I have recently filed another lawsuit against Green Valley or Red Rock Resorts Incorporated. So more on that to come. So we shall see.
I want to file one against the Wynn.
Oh, yes, you were at the Wynn. You should tell what you think was going on.
You know, there's not many people in Australia. Actually, I want to file lawsuits to a whole bunch of people over a whole bunch of things. But nonetheless, I was very upset. I stayed at the Wynn for a few nights. free, I must add. So, you know, I shouldn't complain, but I am. I'm going to complain for the masses. Forget about me. And I was so very disappointed. There is literally, you get one bar, maybe two bars of service. And let me tell you, I'm public in saying this because there was a question on the Las Vegas Advisor that said, why does the new casinos, what are they called in Las Vegas, look so much like the Wynn? What are they called?
Like a copper tint. The Resorts is one.
Resorts World. Is that what it's called? Anyhow, why do they? Well, my answer is because it's a giant Faraday cage. There's no signal for mobile phones.
But they, for a small fee of $31,
you per can device. Use
per device per day.
Right. So that would have cost me $62. That would have cost me for the 2 days stay for my mobile phone, or my cell phone, as you guys in the USA call it, and my laptop. That is $124, if I add up correctly, for 2 days of internet usage.
Yes, but you can't use it if you want. So, the signals
are going to make a fortune. That's I think all of it, it's copper. It looks the color copper because they've got copper all through it. Copper to stop the signal.
Correct.
So I think that someone should start a class action lawsuit, or at least look in to see if it's got copper lined, you know, not just painted copper, but actual copper.
One last thing that we should discuss before we're getting near the end here of our broadcast is
there another person I want to sue? Because there's a lot of them.
Well,
people making me angry.
Well, how about the little incident that occurred at the women's warm-up event this year?
Oh, well, that's another way you can deal with things. Just get in a fight.
Yeah. At the final table of the ladies' warm-up event this year,
There was a scuffle.
There was, like, chairs being thrown.
Well, not thrown. Flying backwards, I believe, is more the... The point is, 8 security guards, according to people that were there... You know.
And Jack Effel had to, you know, calm all these women down.
It's me. Imagine it. People would pay for that. So I shouldn't laugh.
I tell you what, if you could guarantee a fight at the end of every final table in a women's event, I guarantee you the numbers would go through the roof.
I want to see video, but no one's videoed this, I don't think. So anyone out there happens to have video, please send it to me. I won't pass it on. I
don't think you can video. I was watching a friend of ours.
No.
And you're not allowed to video with them. You can take pictures, but you're not allowed to video.
Right. Well, that's because of PokerGo and ESPN and all of the other people, I suppose.
Which is kind of tragic, because didn't Daniel Negreanu and Harrington make a final table against each other?
That was televised. Daniel Negreanu, I was talking about that some time ago, was on a final table. It was like 1:30, 2:00 a.m. I think, by memory.
Well, who was he up against?
Oh, I can't remember, but here I am watching it. Phil Hellmuth came along at that time of day and he started like just speaking on the microphone. He's like, wow, there's no commentary, like there was no one, like, so that moment is gone forever.
That's a shame.
Daniel Negreanu heads up. Gone forever, because there was no video coverage.
Yes,
it is a shame.
Yes, and check out, just a little plug for Daniel, check out his video blog. He's done one for the World Series of Poker, a lot of entertaining things on there. I know he recently got married, and I think him and Amanda, I believe, are planning to start a family. So congratulations to Negreanu and Amanda.
Yes, absolutely, which I've already said. Yes. Oh my gosh, the most fabulous wedding video, and on the day, pretty much. It was presented. I just loved it. I went to Amanda's wall and sent congratulations and watched the video. It was just amazing. Anywho,
that should do it for this episode of the Dr. Nick and Hot Off the Chick Show. Is there anything else you would like to add?
There is always more that I like to add. In fact, I have so many complaints about so many people, and I've been so angry with the world this week. But I will put all of that aside, and I will add just one thing. I have got a very sore neck today, and I swear to you, I think I wrestled with a poltergeist in my sleep.
Did
you? Yeah, they say you slept funny. Well, this feels a little more than that. I'm just so sore.
Wrestling with the Poltergeist. Why don't you tell everybody where we were at when you were in town?
Oh, yes. Well, that's another free plug. Is Zach Bagans, is that how you pronounce his name?
Close enough.
Yeah, okay. Last little story has to be a horror story. Hopefully everyone is listening to this as they're going to sleep. Is that a scary voice? I think not. But nonetheless, we went to the Haunted Museum, and I went adorned with my crystals, my seven chakra crystal necklace, and we got to a room where there is a scrying mirror from Dracula, correct?
Correct.
I think that was the room anyway. And I walked on in and went, and I just stood and I was looking at a painting on the wall. And I'm like, good Lord, that painting, it was in my house when I was a child. My aunt brought it. I'm looking at this painting and you know how you have kind of suppressed thoughts, right? And I'm thinking, sure. I know this painting. Like, why am I looking at this painting and my childhood and my house? And the woman goes, oh, anyone that has that painting in their house burns down. That's why it's here. I was just like, Nicholas Cologne, Dr. Nicholas Cologne, who can lock me in a psych ward? What was my reply?
You said that when I was a child, my house burnt down.
Yes. Everyone was looking at me going, are you kidding me? Anyhow, just seconds later, my necklace was ripped off my neck.
By a poltergeist?
I assume so. What else makes my necklace on a brand new chain come off my neck?
Well,
that
yes,
place is freaky deaky.
Well, there's a lot of cool stuff. There was the Dr. Kevorkian.
That painting was not cool.
Yeah, the Dr. Kevorkian Death Fan is there. They have Charles Manson's false teeth, some of his ashes. They have some a photo of Chris Farley when he passed away.
A hall full of clowns.
Oh, that was terrifying to you, as I recall.
Yes, a clown tried to rape me once, and I'm not actually kidding. If anyone's going to have a fear of clowns, it's going to be me, and it's going to be for that reason, and I did not like that hall of clowns. In fact, I almost got in a violent fight with a clown in that hall.
Yes, and a lot of other interesting things. So check it out if you're ever in Vegas. It's on the corner of Charleston.
Yeah, just go and scare yourself to death while you're on a poker break or
yes.
while you're not playing blackjack or while you, you know, think you need a mental getaway from the craps table.
Right.
Go and crap yourself there instead.
It's on the corner of Charleston and Las Vegas Boulevard. So with that being said, until next week, Hot Aussie Chick, we will see
over
you.
Over and out.
Over and out. Take care, everybody.